Matthew 22. I want to talk tonight about the Great Commandment, and then we're going to look at the Great Commission. I'll not be asking you to turn to all the references because of the time factor that we have tonight. I've printed almost all the references on the back side of your sheet. As you will see, you have a pyramid on one side and all those references on the back. So you can, you know, look at those at your leisure as we're going along. Yes, louder, right. Please get a PA system here. I'm going to take a special offering someday where you guys get a PA system for us people that drop our voices, right? Talked to one brother this morning about that, and I said, you pray for me tonight, I'll probably be dropping my voice too. Okay, Matthew 22, beginning at verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Then if you turn over a few pages to Matthew 28, very familiar passage. There's this one that we just read with us, I'm sure, to you. Matthew 28, the last three verses, beginning at verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Let's pray. Father, tonight I thank you for your word. I thank you this is your word. I thank you that, Lord, you know I am your servant, and these are your people. And this is the message, Lord, that you've given me. I pray tonight that by your Spirit, you would speak this message to the hearts of each one of your people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here Jesus Christ gives us a great commandment, the great commandment, and the Great Commission. Have you ever thought about the relationship between the two? Have you ever thought about the relationship between these two? I never had, that I can remember in all my 50 plus years of being a believer. Both of these obviously are great, tremendous importance, but which is the greatest? Which should be our priority as Christians? And of course, I can hear someone saying to themselves right now, well, that's kind of a trick question, eh? I mean, they're equally important, right? Well, I want to suggest that not only does the Great Commandment precede the Great Commission chronologically, as we've just seen, but it also takes logical precedence. Unfortunately, as I know from personal experience, it's all too possible to be very zealous in obeying the Great Commission here in Matthew 28 without living by the Great Commandment in Matthew chapter 22. And yet, I'm convinced that the opposite is impossible, as I hope to show you tonight. That's the point of this message. If we really focus on loving God as we should and loving others as we should, then there's no way under God's heaven that we're going to be lax about fulfilling this great commission. Let me ask you a question, a very sobering question. What comes to your mind when you think about the judgment seat of Christ? Are you ever troubled when you read that passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 or 2 Corinthians? He mentions it again in Romans 14 that we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers. I'm not talking about the great white throne judgment that happens at a different time, and that's for a different people, people who don't know Christ. We're talking about you and me, believers in Jesus Christ, that we're going to give account for our lives. I hope you'll understand what I'm going to say. When I think about my response to the Great Commission here in Matthew 28, I am not troubled as to what I'm going to hear when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. I really feel that my wife and I have paid our dues regarding the Great Commission. We've served in three different countries during our 40 plus years of marriage. We've given both of our daughters to the Lord to serve. As you know, we've given untold money over all these years and still continue to do that. And I say that great thanksgiving to God for the privilege. And I know that's also true of Lyndall, Verlene, and many of you here tonight as well. But even though we might have been zealous and outwardly successful in our evangelistic efforts, there is something that I am very deeply concerned about when I think about the judgment seat of Christ. That is when the Lord goes to evaluate my service, that fire from His piercing eyes is going to lay bare the motives of my heart. in your heart why we did all these things we did, gave all this money that we gave. In 1 Corinthians 16, we're told to do everything in love. Everything. That's pretty all-inclusive, isn't it? And I'm afraid that an awful lot of what I've done in all my years of ministry, as I look back over them, will not stand the test of Jesus' loving, penetrating eyes at that time, because they were not motivated purely by love. And I don't know how many years I have left to serve the Lord, but however many they are, as much as I would love to reach all the Turks in Houston, and of course Turks over in Turkey, vicariously through these guys going back, as much as I'd like to see thousands of them come to Christ, even more than that, my desire, my prayer is that in whatever time I have left, I will learn to do everything in love. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. John 15. Let's turn to that. John 15. There's a couple of passages. I will actually read these longer ones. John 15 and beginning at verse 7. John 15, verse 7. Jesus speaking said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And this is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you." And then going on to chapter 17, first three verses. "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." And then going down to verse 20. "Neither pray I for these alone," speaking about us as believers, or the believers then, the disciples, "but for them also which shall believe on me through their word," now speaking about us, "that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." What is Jesus telling us here in these verses we read? Well, one thing he says very clearly, he says that eternal life equals knowing God. That's what eternal life is equivalent to, knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ. The Christian life is all about growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, grace is simply another word for unconditional love. That's what God wants us to grow in. And the more that we love him, the better we come to know him. And the better that we get to know him, the more that we love him. It's a glorious cycle, if you would. You know, the old love song expressed it very well in regards to our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was written as a love song, but think about it in relation to the Lord Jesus. To know him is to love, love, love him. And I do. And I do. Don't you? What was Paul's desired prayer after all of his years of being a missionary? Philippians 3, he says, that I may know him. That I may know him better, know him deeper, love him more. And that's what Paul prayed for the believers in the churches that he planted. Look in Ephesians 1, if you would, with me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And then turn over to chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. He's saying, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, so that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, we need to grow every day in learning more and more to accept God's unconditional love for us, God's grace, and then to become channels of his love to those around us. On your handout, you see there it has John 7:38. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that's what God's desire is for you and me, that His love might be just continuously flowing out through us in that way by the power of the Holy Spirit. And on the other side of the handout, as you see, I've diagrammed the Christian life as a pyramid with three layers. The foundation is this, to know God and to love God. This is where it all begins. And no matter how much we mature, no matter how mature we get in our Christian walk, we never get beyond this, knowing God. In 1 John 2:13, what does he say? I write to you fathers because you've known him. I write to you little children because you've known him. So, you know, you never get beyond this. This is the goal that we all have and still have, no matter how long we've been saved. How do I know if I'm growing in my knowledge of him and love for him, Brother Norm? Well, we read Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, if you examine all the commandments the Lord gives throughout the entire Bible, you'll find there are two things which he tells us to do over and over, far more than anything else. And what are those two things? To trust him and to praise him. You can look it up yourself in your concordance. Over and over, he tells us to trust him. Now, sometimes it's expressed in a negative way. He says, fear not, fear not. So many times throughout the Old and New Testament. But what he's saying is, he wants us to believe him, to believe his word, to take him at his word, that he is in control. And that he's wanting to do is, no matter how bad things look, he's working for our good, to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. And that leads into the other most frequent command, which is to praise him, to sing to him, to worship him continuously, simply because he is God and because he is good. So the answer to the question, and that's of course what it says in Psalm 100, isn't it? Come into his presence, worship the Lord. We sing it here all the time. I can't remember how it starts, but the idea is worship him, bow down to him, serve him gladly. Why? Because he is God. And then it goes on to say, do it again. Why? Because he's good. We could just get that into our little pointy heads. My, what a difference it would make for us. So the answer to this question, how can I know if I'm growing spiritually, is very simple. Just ask yourself this question. Am I trusting God more and more as the days go by? Am I really learning to cast all my cares on Him? To not be anxious about anything, but that in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, I'm making my requests known unto Him? More and more. Am I learning to do that? To rejoice in Him continually, no matter what? Or am I complaining about disappointments? The rain tonight, the floods, whatever. Setbacks, interruptions to my life. Some that are a lot more serious than this water tonight. Am I getting angry with God? Impatient when He doesn't answer my prayer as quickly or in the way that I want Him to? All these, brothers and sisters, are signs of unbelief, which grieves His heart. You say, well, Brother Norm, what does all this have to do with the Great Commission? Well, look at, again, your handout, Philippians 2:14. Do all things without murmurings, which means complainings, that you may be blameless and harmless in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. I'm a light in this world whenever I don't complain. But when I grumble, my witness is in vain. Just keep the tracks in your pocket, Norman. Psalm 67, you have that there too. Let the peoples praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. Then God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Do you see the relationship there? When we're praising, when we're trusting God and praising him, it's going to touch other people. Yes. Speak up. Thank you. I'll keep trying to remember to do that. If you want to fill in this pyramid on your notes, if you got something to write with, this is what it should look like. The bottom layer, two things. Knowing God and loving Him. That will be manifested in the second layer. Two things. Trusting God and praising Him. Thank you. Okay, you're listening. Now, what about the third layer? The result of knowing God and loving Him will be what? Submission and obedience to God, and humble service to others. Submission and obedience to God, and humble service to others. This love will first of all be seen in the household of faith. 1 John 4:21. This commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Jesus told about that in the verses we read in John also. You see, the greatest proof of my love for God, whom I have never seen, is my humble service to others, especially others whom I see on a daily basis. on my job, at school, wherever, especially in my own family where I have to spend most of my time, my own home. And that gets very quiet when we think about that, doesn't it? How do I show love to those that are the closest to me? But it will also include, as I said, all these others and everyone that we have dealings with, especially other believers. We'll be reaching out to them. Galatians 6:10, we're to do good to all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. And Jesus told us that the way the world's going to know that we belong to Him will be the love that we show to one another. In the last prayer that we read, John 17, His last prayer, the burden on Jesus' heart was what? That we would be one, that we would strive to maintain this unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That means regardless of whatever secondary doctrine that you and I might disagree on, if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, God come in the flesh to save us, and you confess He's the only means of salvation, then according to this word, you are my brother. Period. Right? Make the lip on this just a little bit wider next time. For people who have a lot of notes like me. But that's what it's saying. Now, what if you just can't stand me? Well, good luck. You must learn to love me. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. To dwell above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. You've heard this before, right? To dwell below with saints we know, oh, that's another story. Right. But that's not what the Lord Jesus had in mind. Now, it's over in Turkey for the last 10 years. We didn't have any luxury of divisions, denominations, cliques, whatever. As workers over there, M's, we call them, missionaries, while we strongly disagreed with one another in private over lots of important but secondary doctrines, we tried to be very careful to not address these things in public in a way that would put down our brothers and divide the body of Christ. We just couldn't afford to do it. I don't think you can afford that over in Poland either. I don't know about Mexico. It's a little bit more easy to afford it down there. Got a few more evangelicals than over in Poland and certainly more than in Turkey. But unfortunately, here in this country, we have this luxury. Well, I don't like the way you guys do it. I'll just go down the street. Somebody else. God have mercy. What about charismatics, Pentecostals? Whew. I personally don't speak in tongues. And it even distresses me to hear when someone, brother or sister, is trying to get someone else to speak in tongues. But at the same time, I strive to maintain fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ who do speak in tongues or pray in tongues, as long as they don't say it's necessary to salvation. Now, at that point, I'd part company with them. Now, what if they just say, which they usually do say, of course, it's the sign of being baptized in the Spirit or filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, then I'd have a long talk with them. Show them 1 Corinthians 12:13. I don't know if I pray that out, but you can look it up. It says there that all believers there in Corinth, and I'm sure that's true of all believers of all time, were baptized one time into one body of Christ. But he goes on to say in that same context that they didn't all speak in tongues. He says, do all speak in tongues? Well, of course not. Do all do this? Do all of that? No. We all have different gifts. And I'd show them Ephesians 5:18. There's no such thing as a one time being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be being filled. Be continuously being filled. It's not just you get filled. Oh, that's great. We all leak. We all leak. That's right. So I just probably end up with that charismatic brother or sister agreeing to disagree with them. But I'd be very careful to not attack them in our meetings as if they were the enemy. Because they're not. We've got an enemy. Believe me, he loves it when we get hung up on these secondary things. Heard about Napoleon. One time, two of his officers, high-ranking officers, were quarreling so much so that it had spread out, spread throughout the ranks. Everybody knew about this. Napoleon knew how to deal with this. He took them early one morning with him up to the highest point overlooking the battlefield that was getting ready to happen. The battle was getting ready to happen. He pointed out to the horizon. He said, gentlemen, that is your enemy. Now shake hands and let's get on with it. And boy, I think sometimes, oh God, I know that's what you want to do with me. With all these other brothers and sisters, rather get hung up on all these secondary things. We've got one enemy, and it's Satan. It's not one another. Sometimes I look at my charismatic brothers over in Turkey or here too, whom I believe are deficient in their understanding of what the Bible teaches about the gifts of the Spirit. And yet I see them overflowing with the fruit of the Spirit. the love, the joy, and so forth. While I, in my good old biblical conservatism and doctrinal purity, so often sadly lacking in the love and joy and patience that are supposed to characterize followers of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about one charismatic sister in specific named Joyce. Now, my wife over here, who, if you know her, if you get to know her, you'll find out she's probably even more turned off by these Pentecostals or Holy Rollers or whatever than you have ever been. She's scared to death of them. I mean, you know, want to touch it, like to, you know, affect me or somehow, like electric shock. I don't know what she thinks, but she will tell you if you ask her tonight afterwards that this sister, Joyce, really ministered to her during our years in Turkey. If it hadn't been for Joyce, Fran probably would never have lasted there as long as she did. Joyce never pushed her charismatic ideas, but it was so obvious that she had the love and the joy of the Lord in her heart. Anyway, the pinnacle of the pyramid, let's get on to that. The pinnacle of the pyramid, the focal point of the Great Commission. What is it? Is the Great Commission, I'm sorry. The focal point is the Great Commission, to preach the gospel to every creature. Witnessing, testifying to the gospel, any and every way possible that we can make disciples of all nations. That is our job. We know that, right? But it will never work, brothers and sisters, I'm convinced. It will never work to try to stand this pyramid on its end, to reverse the process. In the Great Commission, the Lord gave us the job that He wants us to do. But in the Great Commandment, He gives us the key to getting that job done. 2 Corinthians 5 on your handout sheet. The love of Christ constraineth us, that they which live should not live to themselves, but unto Him. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, and we pray other people to be reconciled to God because of that love flowing through us. That's the only way. We really want to get the job done to reach others with the gospel, whether it's in Turkey, whether it's in Houston, whether it's in Poland, Mexico, wherever. We must remember that our priority is to know God better and to love Him more each day. Period. That is our priority. Nothing else. Jesus prayed for us in John 17 as we read, "Sanctify them, Father, by Thy truth. Thy word is truth." Philippians 2, we're told to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, for God is working in us. Work out our salvation. What is that talking about? It's talking about sanctification. It's becoming, talking about becoming more and more like Jesus Christ every day. And that is a process. You're saved. Your sins are forgiven when you receive Christ. You're justified. That's a once for all thing. It happens. That's when, as I'm convinced, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. But then we need to be continually filled with the Spirit. We need to be continually sanctified. We need to be continually be doing what Jesus spoke about here in John 17. And what Paul told us to do in Philippians 2, working out our salvation. Not working for our salvation. We can't work for our salvation. That's hopeless. It's all been done. But we can work out the salvation God has given to us in our lives. But it takes time. Yes. That's the problem. You know, our brother Joe, we've been staying with him for the last couple of months since we came back from Turkey while we're looking for a house in Houston. And bless his heart, he, anyway, it's a long story, but he has a water filter. And we have to filter all the water that we drink. And so that's been my job. You know, I mean, I'm living there, you know, not paying any rent, so I guess I can do that. But you know me, if you know me, that is not the job to give me. I mean, he said, "Now, Norman, you just trickle it through. Just turn that, just hose on just a little bit, just let it trickle. You got these, how many 20 or something gallon jugs we've got to fill up there?" And I'm sitting there watching this, and I want to speed it up, and Joe watching. And God says, Norman, don't you see what I'm trying to show you while you've been doing this for these last 2 months? Don't you see what I'm trying to show you, Norman, what through this? That's what I'm trying to do with you. My water, my word is the water. But it's got to go through that filter in your life, Norman. It's got to go through the filter of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, it's going to come out and it's not going to taste right. It's going to have all that chlorine. It's going to have all that rocks and stuff in it. And people are going, pfft. And that's what they're doing when they're meeting you, Norm, when you're not walking under the control of the Holy Spirit, when you're not walking in love. You're saying, "Who wants to drink this?" But when you just let it just trickle through, take its time. Oh, Norman, that's what I want to do in your life. So if we want to fulfill the Great Commission, the most important thing that you and I can do is what? To spend significant time every day seeking God. Seeking God every day in prayer and studying His Word. There's nothing more important we can do. Day by day, I wish I could sing it. Day by day, three things I pray. To see thee more clearly, to love thee more dearly, to follow thee more nearly. Day by day. Many of you knew my dad, Ike West. Pop was not a preacher. He was not a theologian. Wasn't even a Sunday school teacher. He was just a layman, quote unquote. Worked for the school board most of his life after he stopped farming. Pop didn't talk a lot about evangelism and missions. I don't remember him talking about it hardly at all in all the years that I can remember. He didn't major on fulfilling the Great Commission, as I have tried to do for almost 50 years now. But Pop did live by the Great Commandment. And everybody who knew Ike West knew that he did. They knew that he was a man full of the love of God, because it just flowed over out of his life and touched everyone around him, and it blessed him. Blessed them. And the result of that was what? All three of his sons have given their lives to full-time evangelism. Also several of his grandkids who are here, great-grandkids who are here. In spite of what I said earlier, let me say this. I do expect to receive rewards when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. But although I served many years as a pastor and missionary myself, I have no doubt that my rewards are going to pale next to those of my dad. Why? Because Pop was more faithful than I have been so far to live in love and to walk in love. And I say that to my shame tonight. So my prayer tonight is this, that God would fill me, and for you, for the same prayer, that He would fill you, that He would fill us with such a passion for Jesus Christ that we'll be constantly falling in love with Him and learning more and more of Him and His grace as the days go by. And if we do that, brothers and sisters, I'm sure that we will get the job done, and we'll hear Him say, "Well done."